This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. When it comes to vacations, you hear about going to California, Las Vegas, Florida, but outside of these places, where do you go for specific things? Like, if you were looking to try different foods, where would you go? What's the best place to visit for outside activities? Joining me to give travel tips and destination advice is host and producer of Travels with Darlie, Darlie Newman. Thanks for joining me, Darlie.
Thanks for having me, Mason.
When it comes to places to go vacation for, everyone tells you, oh, go to Las Vegas, go see the Grand Canyon. But what are some places that aren't that well known that you should go visit?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. It's funny because you think about the world kind of being so small and you think about information being out there all over the place because of the internet. But that's what I do. I love to discover places that people don't know about. I just went down to New Mexico, which I would recommend, and everything from cool restaurants in Santa Fe to the Continental Divide Trail, which is one of our nation's national scenic trails. You can take a lot of day trips and do accessible adventures, hiking, biking, whitewater rafting, and you can even stay at a monastery, which I did, which is a little unusual. And it's accessible, it's neat, it's drivable, and I think it's not on people's radar right now. So I definitely would recommend that as a top pick.
What about for food? Because, you know, taking pictures of your food for Instagram is such a thing right now. What's a good place to travel for some of the food?
Okay, one of my favorite places that I dream about going back to eat is Hong Kong. I love Asian cuisine, and I'd never been, but I was recently able to go and film for our PBS series and take a lot of great shots of amazing food. And it was so different than the Cantonese cuisine I've had in the U.S. and so many like delectable fresh seafood and just this dish called hot pot, which is like this soupy pot where you can cook these different meats. It just was so tasty and everything was so fresh. So I would definitely say put Hong Kong on your list. It kind of reminded me of New York City being a big city, but just, you know, New York maybe even on a grander scale. So I definitely recommend that for a food lover's trip.
Have you ever done road trips? Do you think road trips is something people need to start doing more of?
I like a good road trip. I mean, what I like about a road trip is that sometimes you discover something that you didn't really have on your agenda or itinerary, which I think is one of the best things about travel. So, I mean, and also you can travel with a group and it can be cost effective. You just have to watch out for your gas prices and kind of plan ahead on that. But I think, you know, taking a road trip, I did actually Illinois' Route 66 and discovered some really cool places. There's actually outside of Chicago, less than 2 hours, you can go to a place called Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie, and there are bison there. I mean, who would have thought, like, you would encounter bison outside of Chicago on Route 66? So I would say, yeah, definitely get in the car and take a road trip. It's something that can be pretty easy to plan, cost-effective, and you just don't know what you're going to discover, which makes it fun.
Okay, so during the winter, a lot of times people just go to, like, a ski resort. What about other places? Is there anything else to do during the winter?
You know, I actually went up to Quebec and did dog sledding, which was cool. I mixed it with skiing in Mont Tremblant, which is really neat. It reminds you of a French village. It has that French flair. You can actually ski right down from the slopes into the village. I definitely recommend getting poutine, which is a very decadent French fried cheese curd dish. But, you know, getting out in the snow can be a lot of fun. If you want to catch some sun but still be active, Arizona can be pretty cool. There's a lot of good dude ranches down there, which you can go and go horseback riding, go hike in the desert, and get your sun rays in during the winter, which can be something that people don't necessarily think of, but also a lot of fun.
Now, when I was a kid, we went on the Big Red Boat. It's a cruise thing, but Disney did. But a lot of times now, people are getting sick on cruise ships. Are those even worth going on, or what about riverboats?
You know, it's so funny, and it's interesting, too, because there have been recent articles and studies that have come out talking about cruising actually being on the rise for millennial travelers, which I think is interesting. And I think a lot of people still do choose to cruise, whether it's a large cruise, or there are a lot of, like, smaller boats and river cruises, which give you a more intimate experience. And I think it can be a good way to travel, especially if you're in a group. Again, it can be pretty easy to plan. You know, a lot of stuff on the ship is accessible and taken care of, and then you're looking at maybe planning some shore excursions. So I think it depends on your group and your style, or yourself and your style, but I think it still can be a cool way to see a new place.
Now, are there any things that some people do that they don't take into consideration and they should?
Well, I think a good thing to think about when traveling is that, you know, we just don't have a lot of vacation time pretty much in life. I think we all know that. So your vacation time is valuable. So something to think about when you are thinking about taking a trip is just making sure you've done your research. I'll say the internet is great, but look for trusted sources. Look for people that either you would consider an expert, or talk to family and friends and people that you know to get advice, because firsthand recommendations are always the best. And if you can look to a trusted source, you can make sure that your vacation is hopefully going to be what you wanted it to be, which is so important when you have limited time to take advantage of.
Now, you said you've been to Hong Kong, you've been to Quebec. A lot of times people don't have the resources that you have, but they still want to have that same experience where they get to go and stay in weird places and they get to do other stuff. But a lot of times they don't have a team like you do. So what would you recommend that people should do so that they can get a more like real experience rather than the tourist tour?
Yeah, so I'm all for that, first of all. And you don't have to travel far to get that experience. I mean, I always suggest looking in your own backyard. Look at places that are in a drive distance around you for new experiences. But one of the best ways to kind of get that more authentic experience is to make sure that in some way you hook up with locals as you travel. And this could be like if you go to a museum, actually taking one of the guided tours. Or in a lot of cities and places, there are now food tours where you can actually sign up to take a guided tour of the city and experience its food, which you may think, oh, I don't really want to go on a tour. But I think when you first arrive to a city, take a bike tour is another idea. Taking a tour is a great way to actually meet someone from that place. And you can ask them other questions on the tour, too, about what you might want to do and see when you're there. And that information can be invaluable, getting it that firsthand knowledge from a local.
What about international, where you guys may not speak the same language? How can you cross that language barrier to find out where to go?
Well, I mean, I definitely encounter this a lot. I speak a little Italian and maybe a little Spanish, but in my travels, I've been to some out-of-the-way places where sometimes people don't speak the language. You mean, getting around with, you know, asking locals who do speak English is good, but if you can't find those people again, I think looking at taking some introductory tours to the city can be good. But I think you can still connect with the culture without knowing the language. I mean, a smile is universal. It sounds cheesy, but it's so true. And then just observing the culture, like going to a park and sitting and just taking the time to kind of breathe in the atmosphere, looking around for local events that may be happening in the place that you're visiting, whether it's a festival or a special thing that may be free to visitors to do in the city. Those are great ways to kind of see what the locals are doing and really experience the culture without necessarily knowing the language.
I never traveled internationally, but, you know, even traveling in the U.S., my mother always says you need to go out in pairs, so I have to always go with a friend to any state I go to. Do you think that's smart, or can you go solo on a trip?
Okay, well, we're going to have to get you on a solo trip, because there are definitely a lot. I mean, there are so many great benefits, and it's certainly something that can be safe and accessible. Again, I think doing your planning up front and doing a lot of good research is kind of a key thing to do, whether you're traveling solo or with a group. It just makes you that much more prepared. But if you are traveling solo, just having that general awareness of what's going on around you, making sure that you're, you know, going to places that you have done some research on beforehand, or you've asked another trusted source about, those are good things to do. But traveling in new places can be like traveling anywhere else, whether it's domestic or internationally, and just keeping your wits about you and thinking about that safety first is always important.
When my cousin graduated from college, her and a group of her friends went backpacking across Europe, and they stopped in all these hostels. Is that the smart thing to do now?
You know, you can still do it. I actually did the same thing a couple years ago, though. but loved it. I think it's such a great travel is such an enriching experience. I mean, if you have the chance to travel somewhere, whether it is domestically or internationally, I always say take advantage of it when you can. I mean, life is short, and the things that you can learn and experience on your travels, not only are they going to open your eyes to, you know, the world around us and other cultures, but just educate you that much more. And backpacking around Europe, backpacking around, you know, South America, those are such amazing adventures that can still be done. And there are a lot of young people that are still doing those, whether they're just doing them as their backpacking trip or whether they're studying abroad and then incorporating that into their adventures while they're studying in a new place.
Now, I've gotten into this debate with my family members. Should you try to figure out where to go yourself, like using Travelocity, or should you do a travel agent?
Well, that is a big debate. I mean, I think you can do both. You can do either or the other. I mean, it depends on what your preferences are. Travel agents can be a great resource. They definitely, depending on the agent, may have a specific expertise, which you might want to utilize. It'll save you time, and it can also save you money. A lot of travel agents can offer you discounted rates because they're booking people at specific places, and then they're getting those special discounts for you, which can be great, can save you money in the long run. But again, you know, if you don't want to use a travel agent, it can be just as good to book something on your own, doing your research and thinking about it ahead of time. I think it depends on your preference, but both can be good things to do, especially if you're looking to do something that might be more specialized where a travel agent would be helpful, or something complicated. I visited Africa, and I went to Botswana and did safaris, and that was actually really good to have a travel agent working on that because there was a lot of different flights and logistics, and it just made things a lot easier.
Okay, so I have to know, in your opinion, what are the top five places that you have to, like, visit in your lifetime?
Do you want a specific city, or do you want, like, a... Okay, well, I'm going to give you... First, number one, I'm going to give you Botswana, Africa, because that's, like, one of the top places that I always tell people to go. I did multiple safaris there. If you've never viewed wildlife outside of a zoo, you try to get to Africa. It will change your perspective, and you will really want animals to continue to run free after seeing them in the wild. It's just an amazing experience, and that is a beautiful country. So I would say Botswana. I'll give you Ireland as the second one. I love Ireland. People are so welcoming. It's so beautiful. And it's just a country that there's a lot of fun things to do, and it's super diverse. I would put Hong Kong on the list. Again, such a foodie's destination, making it over there. But there's a lot of unique experiences in Hong Kong that people wouldn't think about doing. I did hiking. I went biking in the suburbs to kind of see how people really live in Hong Kong. And I thought it was, again, another such a rich culture and amazing experience. Got to go to France just to eat the cheese. I love France. I've gone to Paris a bunch, but I've also been doing a lot of travels outside of Paris, down to the Côte d'Azur, along the Mediterranean coast, up to northeastern France, and just soaking in the rich history. That would definitely be a place on my list. And I would also, I think I would add New Mexico to this list, and I got to pick a U.S. place. New Mexico has so much going for it, and a lot of people don't make it to some of the lesser trod parts of the state, where there's like the Gila National Forest, this huge national forest with just such a rich history and such beautiful scenery and wildlife and culture. So I would say put that on your list as well.
Oh, I like that list. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something for everyone out there in travel. I mean, our world is so diverse. So if you have something that you're interested in, there's a place out there for you to visit. It's just a matter of locating it. And, you know, you may look online and see a lot of some of the same places coming up, but if you take a little bit of a deeper dive, you'll find that there are places that you wouldn't have known about unless you had taken that deeper look, and you'll say, oh my gosh, I should go there.
Well, Darlie, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Sure. Well, you can watch my series Travels with Darlie and Equitrekking on your local PBS TV station, and now also Travels with Darlie is on Amazon Prime, and hit our websites, travelswithdarlie.com and equitrekking.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.